Welcome, everybody. This is the Apps for Link session, one of many sessions, actually, with Apps for Link. This one is focused on management and IT tools for Link. We've got a bunch of partners here today who are going to just do some product demos of what they've been working on. Personally, I'm very excited about this. My name is Kai Stramskov. I'm in the Link Partner Engineering team. And so these sessions just remind me of how much I love my job, because I'm working with partners every day. They're giving me feedback. We're pushing it back into our platform APIs. And I get to, you know, they send me videos of what they've been working on, and I just get to be delighted every time I see these cool, you know, management and IT features. It's just fantastic to see what is possible with the Link platform. And I wrote the SDN API documentation just recently and released the 2.0 version. And it's just really exciting to see what's happening in that space. It's just a complete disruption as we're moving from hardware-based networking to hardware plus software and having self-healing networks. I mean, it's just really exciting to see what partners can do with the Link platform. So really excited to have... who do we have here today? Unify Square. We have Integrated Research, Dell, HP, Nectar. Just a lot of solid IT and management solutions. And we're going to spend the next hour or so taking a look at those, and then we're going to go party. Am I right? So it's perfect. So without further ado, let's bring up Unify Square and get this party started.
Okay, sorry about that. So my name is Arun Raghavan. I'm here to talk about PowMon. PowMon is our monitoring solution for Link. I'm the head of product development for Unify Square. Unify Square is a leader in Link solutions. So we have solutions that deal with reporting on Link, so that's PowerView. We have a monitoring solution, PowMon, that we'll talk about today. We also have a user adoption satisfaction survey tool that's called PowerSat. We're also coming out with a provisioning tool for UC lifecycle management called PowerProv, which is Power Provisioning. We're founded by a lot of ex-Microsoft OCS Link product group members, so deep expertise in the Link space. So today I'll talk to you about PowMon. PowMon is our synthetic transaction engine for end-to-end monitoring for Link from the cloud. So basically, it has a zero on-premise deployment footprint. We can get up and running within a few hours monitoring an environment and having it provide information on service level availability that's measured from the end user perspective. So in my former role, I was with Microsoft in the SCOM team. So I was leading a SCOM unit that was developing monitoring management packs, synthetic transactions. What we realized when we started with PowMon is most legacy monitoring systems tend to amplify noise, tend to amplify issues more than they do to solve them. So they actually end up generating a lot of noise rather than signal. Yeah. So if you've ever worked with monitoring systems, and I'm a big fan of SCOM, I was on the SCOM team, helped build it, but typically when you go into a large enterprise or an enterprise of any size, it usually takes between 3 to 6 or even 9 months, 12 months to set to get SCOM running to a point where it's not flooding your console with alerts. Yeah. With our approach, so that's one problem that traditional legacy monitoring systems have. They're basically rules-based, which means that if a components are traditionally instrumented to drop like event IDs to event logs, and monitoring systems will pick up those events and then alert on them. Yeah, so they're very rules-based from that, very sort of binary from that perspective. They don't usually have a end-to-end service view on the system. Yeah, they don't have that user perspective. Now, as we start working with a lot of enterprises and our experience in the monitoring space, it basically told us that what an NOC team needs or what a service manager needs to monitor Link as a service is basically a view that gives them gives the NOC team and their team a sense of what's going wrong in the enterprise from a user perspective so they can go and fix that problem. So we have a pretty innovative approach here that's different from legacy systems. So as I said before, legacy systems have a rules-based approach, so the event ID is dropped, event ID is picked up, an alert is fired. There's no concept from that perspective of if you had 5 or 10 alerts, and if you've seen a SCOM screen or any other screen, they all show up in the same, they just show up in the order that they were fired, and they're either severity of a warning or error. That's about the fidelity you get on it. You don't get a view on how many users are impacted, et cetera. Now, what we do is we've taken a view on looking at an enterprise, link enterprise topology, looking at the topology as a whole, looking at the number of, looking at the customers, looking at the users on each pool. So for example, just for illustration, if you had three link pools, one in the US, one in Europe, and one in Asia Pacific, and if you had 5,000 users on the US pool, 3,000 in EMEA and 2,000 in Asia. Roughly, that's a 50% split, 30% split, and 20% split across your enterprise, yeah? And assuming that all the users are equal in the sense that you don't have a particular pool that's dedicated for just the C-level executives, they're all, you know, at macro level, they're all equal user priorities. If you had an outage on the US pool, because you have 50% of the users impact on that, you'll want to direct your resources to fixing that before looking at something that has 10% or 20% impact, et cetera. What we're looking to do there, as you view some of this this dashboard, is if you notice on the top right, the top left-hand column, we've got these high-priority incidents, and you've got next to the incident on the other side, you've got an availability impact. Now, if you look at the availability impact, you'll notice that there's two outages right now. There's an availability impact for one of the outages that is a 5% availability, and the other one is of 1.5%. Roughly what that means is the higher the availability impact, or the higher the more number of users impacted, or the more business critical a scenario, the higher impact it's going to have on service availability. Yeah. So it's a consistent model. When you think about the service that you're providing to an end user, whether you're a customer, whether you're an IT admin, whether you're a managed service provider or a hoster, you basically have an SLA that you're providing to your customers, yeah? And as you think about the incidents, or you think about the outages that impact that availability, that decrease it from that 99.99 or whatever you've committed to your customers, this is a consistent view on that. So right now, if you look at the outage, there's a 5%. Right now, there's a current impact to availability. So if the system availability, when everything is running fine, smoothly, was 100%, because of that current issue right now, you have an instant impact of 5% to your service. Yeah? So that's 5% essentially of users impacted or business critical workloads impacted. So what you want to look for is over here we have all the rules that are running. So we have as we go into an enterprise, we realize because of our experience with SCOM and other monitoring systems, you could spend weeks and months tuning the system. We basically look at a link topology. We look at how many pools are there. We look at the users. We look at certain workloads. For example, it's P2P or inbound PSTN, outbound PSTN, conference dial-in, et cetera. And we take those workloads and we come up with a set of tests, right? And what this pane on the right is showing you, it's almost like if you've taken public transport a tube map, you have these different tube lines that or metro lines that say, are they working or not? Yeah, so that's giving you an instant view on the system that says what's working right now on your system, right? So that's the right-hand side. And that's basically the tests that are happening in your system. So if you see that all green, that means everything's working as expected. You've got 100% availability. Now, on the left side, on the right top right-hand corner there, that's the instant availability. That's like your ECG graph of your network. At the moment, it does look sort of up and down because this is a demo environment. Your normal environment, you would hope, is flatlined at 100. But in the not so frequently case of an outage, you might have this availability. You might have an incident that is created. Now, we have another innovative approach to incidents. We basically compute like a fingerprint or a sort of a signature on outages, right? We look at the response code, we look at the diagnostic code, we look at the type of transaction, we look at which part of the signaling in the transaction is failing, and then we compute a signature. Based on that signature, we can detect if it's a unique issue or not, and we bucketize these issues. Yeah. So when you have a certain outage, and that's highlighted over there, what we're able to do is provide root cause analysis. So you can see with a single click, you get to root cause. And this allows the network ops team to go basically get to a root cause, reduce outage, reduce the amount of time on an outage from hours to minutes and minutes to seconds. Yeah. So we have a number of, we have a lot of information here as to what the root cause is. PowerOne is a cloud-based system. We have more than 600,000 link seats being monitored globally. We have a lot of consultants as well that are providing link services and sort of remediation to enterprises. Whenever there's an issue, and we have a knowledge base, that's where this root cause is built up. And so we have a knowledge base that gets refined with best practices with certain issues over time, and we keep that updated. And so that's available to you as well to build up that knowledge base. And we have a process of mediation of some of these knowledge-based articles, and then we publish it. PowerOne is basically cloud-based, and so every month we have the services updated seamlessly to consumers of it, to enterprises. So they get new functionality online. That's our dashboard, for example, is updated on a weekly cadence. There's no downtime to an environment. It just gets updated on the back end. They don't have to do any upgrades, no sort of enterprise footprint. You get the service running 24/7. We've got a unique approach to incidents. So if you look at this, there's sort of two aspects to it. There's a state and there's a type. So state of incident, an incident is active if it's currently, there's a current outage with an incident. We've got a type which is sustained or intermittent, and sustained means you've got an outage that has occurred frequently, so you know that it's a sustained issue. An intermittent issue is something that has occurred once before, but maybe a glitch in your system, maybe not that important unless it gets escalated into a sustained incident. So basically, we're about reducing the noise in the system and providing you that signal of what's happening for my end user impact. At any given time, you have a dashboard, real-time dashboard of what's going on in the system from your end user's perspective. If you look at the impact column over here, we have an impact column here, and that again is talking to. We talked about that before. We have a availability impact that's computed based on the users that are impacted, the business workload, and some other factors. That helps a NOC team prioritize what they're going to go after. So every week or every month, you're going to get a monthly report or a weekly report that says what the PowerOne availability is for the different workloads, whether it's all-up availability or whether you have IAM or P2P or conferencing availability. And as you look through each of these incidents, you can get an understanding of which incident has dented impact, has dented availability, and for how long. So you can go after the incidents or the sort of root causes or problems that are actually impacting availability. So that's basically PowerOne in a nutshell. Again, a few differences between legacy systems. PowerOne has this concept of an instant retry. So if you look at legacy systems or some systems like SCOM that might have synthetic transaction retries, synthetic transactions, then you have a synthetic transaction that's happening once every 15 minutes or so, yeah? So you get these data points, you run a synthetic, it either passes or fails, it runs again in 15 minutes, it passes or fails again 15 minutes. So you have these sort of discrete intervals. With PowerOne, what we have is this concept of instant retry. So when there's a failure, then we try again after about 30 seconds or a minute to just make sure that that is not a it's not an intermittent issue, but it is an actual sort of an actual network or an outage. So that's another advantage that we have. As I mentioned before, more than 600,000 seats being monitored right now. Our monthly and weekly reports provide benchmark metrics. So benchmark metrics give you a view of your system's availability, and also gives you a view of the let's say other enterprises and what their availability is. So you can see whether you're doing better than other enterprises in your same sort of peer group, etc. So nearly out of time here, so I'll just take a couple of minutes for any questions from anybody. Yeah, I think the question was what's needed to test the scenario from end to end. So we've got a number of scenarios, dial-in conferencing, AV, MCU, et cetera. Because we're simulating the users on this, what's required is test accounts. So you set up a test account. For example, with an AV dial-in, it would be one test account that behaves as the organizer that's going to schedule a conference, and then we're going to dial in using dial-in conferencing. In some cases, you may need two accounts. For the dial-in conferencing, we may dial in using another user account. So it's basically test accounts based on the workloads, and we try to optimize those if needed and reuse some of those.
Yeah. Sure,
we wrap up. Okay, thanks, and I'll be at the back for other questions, and some of my colleagues are here as well for any additional questions. I'll hand it over to Duncan. Thanks, Duncan.
All right, perfect. So can everyone hear me okay? Excellent. So while Duncan's going ahead getting this set up, I'll just do a quick intros and some background. So my name is John Miksch. I'm with Integrated Research. I'm joined by my colleague here, Duncan Blake. Duncan's actually been working in the Microsoft UC space since about 2004, both internally within Microsoft and then also externally at a number of partners as well. So just a quick bit of background on Integrated Research. We've actually been helping large enterprises manage their complex unified communications ecosystems since about 2001. We have more than 200 Fortune 500 companies as our customers and about 20 million users under management. Now, this experience is critical because when you talk about implementing operational excellence within a Link environment, it's more than just a technology problem. It's more than just dashboards and alerts. There's a people and a process component that needs to be addressed as well. You need to make sure the right people are getting the right information at the right time. And most importantly, they need to know what to do with it in order to prevent that minor issue from turning into a major outage. And that's exactly what Prognosis, as the core technology, and Integrated Research as the team can help you implement. So for today's session, what we thought we'd do is just walk through a couple of reasons for why the UC team at one of the largest Link deployments in the world selected Prognosis to manage their several hundred thousand user Link environment. And you got that right. Prognosis is currently in use to help roll out nearly 500,000 enterprise voice-enabled users at a single customer. And so what we'll do is just walk through a traditional or a common scenario within our customer environments that we'll hear often. An end user calls in, they're experiencing voice quality issues, or they can't connect, or maybe they got disconnected abnormally from a call. How do you start troubleshooting that, particularly in a multi-vendor environment, which pretty much every Link environment is going to be, right? You're going to have a third-party SBC at your edge, maybe a third-party gateway providing PSTN connectivity, or if you're like most of our customers, you're going to have a legacy PBX integrated into your Link environment. And what Prognosis can do and what Duncan will walk through is the ability to actually show you all these systems on one screen, quickly scope which system is introducing the issue, and then dive down deep to be able to get to the root cause of it. So with that, Duncan, I'd like to hand it over to you.
Thank you, John. So we're going to start out by just looking at Prognosis as a product and sort of the scope and range of features that you have available to you. This is a dashboard. It's an HTML5 interface for Prognosis. Got a lot of flexibility and a lot of customization possibilities here. Simple to build mashups, simple to customize this to include information from one set of pre-canned reports or pre-canned metrics, or to build custom ones and then add them to an existing dashboard or display. In this case, we're looking at a link dashboard focusing. We've got a UCC ecosystem summary off here to the side, which is showing and talking about other components in this environment. This is, of course, a simulated VM running against canned data, so you'll see there's a lot of repeats in the process here, but it's all based on real customer data from the past. In addition to all the other components that you might have interacting with Link in this environment, between Avaya or Cisco or other legacy vendors, we've got some deep alerting going on. These are proactive alerts that are happening about issues across this entire infrastructure. This can be filtered or organized in different ways, to the point that Unify Square was making. Not every alert is equal. Not every alert is going to drive the same kind of response. So different teams and different groups might want to organize or sort this in different fashions. And with Prognosis, you can easily customize the weighting for different components or different aspects of an alert to get to the right people in the right time. Not everybody needs every alert. In this case, we've got a variety of things going on, both at the server infrastructure level, where we're seeing memory issues or network issues that are happening, but we've also got a variety of issues with more complex things. Unfortunately, because this is canned data and it's replaying, I can't predict exactly when things are going to show up, but we've got alerts in here about certificate errors that are, or certificates that are going to expire shortly, so showing some capability of understanding at an application level things that are not network, they're not call quality, but nonetheless critical to your link and server environment. Was there? Oh, sorry, I thought I heard someone ask a question. All these other metrics that you're seeing displayed here vary across platforms, but we can give you information about both your link environment and the other components. Over here, we've got a sort of standard MOS view of different calls that are ongoing in this environment. We can dig in to try and understand. For instance, in the scenario he was talking about where you either had a proactive alert telling you that you're having, you know, call quality impact in a certain region or across a certain piece of infrastructure, or if you're just trying to troubleshoot and understand a particular individual's problems, you can either dig in at the server level, the site level, or in this case, right down to an individual call to understand which components were involved, where the impact may have come from. So in this case, this is just a replay of data around calls. We've got the standard metrics that you might expect. Where the real power in Prognosis comes in is the ability to dig in both at that call level to understand a particular call, but also to take that and stitch it together with all the other components that a call traverses. So if you're looking at a link environment, you see the link components here, all the standard link information. But you might want to also understand where that call is coming from, which pieces are involved that are not in the link environment. So in this case, we're seeing a legacy PBX, we're seeing a PBX phone, a link mediation server, and then out to a user's PC. We can stitch all that together, understand what the components are, and what impact each of those either network hops or the parts of the environment that are related. So from here, we can see we've got some significant MOS impact on certain call legs. In this case, they happen to be between the legacy PBX on one route coming back, not going out. Between the PBX and the PBX phone. So this gives us some detail about this particular call, but one call is probably not where we want to focus our attention. This is just an example of something that we might see. Instead, we might want to dig into this PBX, and that's not what I wanted to see.
and log in.
Sorry. In the meantime, while we were setting up.
Absolutely. And I guess while you get that going, so you notice the orange box at the end there. That could be any legacy PBX that you have in your environment, right? So you know all the vendors that are out there. We can absolutely support that. And then what Duncan's going to bring up here shortly is a situation where you've got not only just legacy PBX in that case, but even in a link environment, you might have what you have here, which is a link user basically out on the edge of the network. You've got a call coming in from the session border controller over there. And again, you can see both legs of this call as it goes all the way out. It's a good old Kevin Donovan, who's sitting in the front row right there, coming in through an edge server, right? So Kevin's at the wonderful Microsoft conference here, connected to his hotel Wi-Fi. Believe it or not, he's actually getting pretty good call quality there. I know that's not always the case if you've got any mobile sales reps that might call in and complain about the voice quality on their iPad while sitting at their local favorite coffee shop, right? But and what you can see here, and
you know, over there on the right is actually we do have some degradation occurring between the mediation server and the ACME packet SBC. If you want to.
Sure. And again, the point here is not that any one call is, you know, what you need to focus on. Clearly, you can use this as a bit of guidance to dig in a particular area. When you have an example you want to investigate, you have the ability to dig down either by user, by extension, depending on the component that you're looking at. If it's an Avaya or a Cisco, it's usually by extension. In the link world, it's a user or a site or a pool that you're probably focusing on at that level. Here, we want to be able to look at the component that might be most responsible or the network subset that is related to this, so we could dig in right into the ACME packet SBC. And we could look at call details from the SBC's perspective. So in addition to the detail that you saw previously that's specific to the Microsoft world, this ACME packet SBC has its own set of records, its own set of rules for how it represents calls. It's using different codecs. It's got different record types. We're able to stitch that together and pull the data between these different platforms into one record, so you can really understand where that impact is coming from. And you might also want to look across time to scroll back through the statistics or performance immediately prior to a change that was made in the environment or to when you suddenly started seeing an impact to see if it, you can identify what change was made there based on that timestamp. And you probably also want to look at the components that are going to be affected across that whole SBC. Like as UnifySquare was talking about, how many people are being impacted by this? How many calls are going through at that time, and what's their level of importance is not always going to be the same. So understanding that at that time frame, you've got a number of calls. In this case, we're looking at a one-minute time slice, but you can expand it out and look at 5, 10 days or weeks to get a different level of analysis. And here we can see for that one-minute time slice, we've got a number of calls that are showing some poor call quality, and what mostly appears to be impacting it is probably a network issue at this point because it looks like it's mostly jitter, although we've also gotten one call in here with a high latency from this SBC's perspective. So this may point to different ports or different sessions coming in from perhaps a different from a different carrier if you've got multiple carriers that are configured to use this one SBC. And from here, you can actually, we could dig into some information if I only had not let this all stuff time out before I started
so
this presentation.
Prognosis is a very secure application.
It's not going to let me be signed in for 15 minutes and then not touch it, so my apologies there.
Yeah, absolutely. And what Duncan was going to show you here is, so at this point, we've isolated the issue down to the ACME packet session border controller, right? And what you might want to take a look at is, what is the overall performance of that SBC? Do we have high CPU memory? What sort of utilization are we using on the SIP trunks that we have configured? How many inbound, outbound sessions, all that great data to understand, is our SBC running hot, and that's why it's starting to, you know, have a difficult time working with all its traffic. And here you can actually see it brought online. And again, that's really the value that Prognosis can bring. A couple of key points that I do want to emphasize here before we log off. So one of them is in the upper right-hand side there. What you can see is we've got that nice green search button. That's our unified search capability. Again, with Prognosis, usability is key. So if you've got a user who calls in and complains about a voice quality issue, or more ideally, right, Prognosis alerts you proactively, you can actually type that username in there, you can type their extension, you can type an IP address in there, whatever you want. We're going to go out and search across every device in your environment and bring back whatever matches against that, give you a nice click, a link to be able to take you right into the device, right? So from a usability perspective, extremely valuable. And then from a custom fit perspective, one of the scenarios Duncan mentioned that we've had customers ask about all the time is, you know what, I want every single VP level user in my environment or above on a specific threshold. Because if they have a bad quality call, I want to know about it immediately. But for the rest of my environment, I just want to know if one particular location is experiencing 6% or greater of the calls going through their environment as degraded. Right, we'll sort of use, we don't want to troubleshoot every single individual issue. Again, that's exactly the kind of flexibility Prognosis can bring to help you get the right fit for your environment. Porting, export, all that stuff, great integration to SharePoint. It's all available. Stop by, we are at the kiosk, I think it's 13.
I think so.
Lucky 13 in Vegas. You can also visit prognosis.com, download it. We've got a 30-day trial, works across all your vendors. Otherwise, feel free to reach out to us after the booth.
And Both. So depending on which platform we're talking about, we pull data either from SQL Server for call statistics or the new APIs in the Link world, but also using WMI statistics, pulling from WMI counters or perfmon counters off of Windows, SNMP trap in and out depending on other platforms. And we don't have time to talk anymore. I want to be respectful of the next one, but we'll happy to answer all your questions later. Thanks.
Sure. Okay, good afternoon, everyone. I'm going to try and get us back on track time-wise, to the best of my abilities, right? I'm also going to be a little bit of a distraction for you because for whatever reason, I'm not going to talk about system management or platform or anything like that. I'm going to talk about something that's very much user-focused and very client-focused, right? So, hey, maybe it'll be of interest and maybe it won't. But so I work for HP. I work with primarily HP Labs, which is the R&D part of our company. And we have been thinking about how we can bring some big data and cloud-type services into the workplace, right? So, you know, to some extent, a lot of vendors sell hosted services or other services to support Link deployments, you know, whether you buy it from HP or Dell or from Office 365 or whatever. In terms of differentiation, it's generally a race to the bottom in terms of price, right? So what we've tried to do is differentiate in different ways. And we're looking to bring something that's innovative and new to the space, and it's focused on employee empowerment, right? So here is my Link conversation with Claudio, who's a colleague of mine in Labs. And you'll see this curious panel on the left-hand side. So what we do here is we basically listen in to the Link conversation, and we do some real-time analytical processing on it. We send queries off to an analytics indexing service, and we return and present relevant complementary content in real-time based on what you're discussing. This is very enterprise-focused, so what we are doing with this is basically engaging with enterprises and indexing all of the various repositories, could be SharePoint, could be file shares or whatever, but anywhere that you hold your data, right, we will index it and then we'll present it to you during conversation. This is a demo system, so it's not connected to our corporate private environment, but we're connected to an index that's aggregating news content, right? So just by way of example, I know Claudio likes cars. He's Italian, right? So if I say, I'll talk about a German car, that'll annoy him. I hear there is a new electric BMW, right? Well, my session's timed out. So this will repaint in just a second, and then the subsequent ones will be a little bit quicker. But once you've authenticated, we'll return relevant content. There you see, it's come up now, on the right-hand panel here. So basically, we find information that's relevant to the discussion. So Claudio may, if he's there, okay, so he will, he might respond. And you'll see that the information presented here in this panel change to reflect that. So at the start of the conversation, you see a lot of flux and a lot of change in the information that we present. But we take this kind of moving window approach to the conversation, and we really only just focus on the area that your conversation is focusing on. So as you begin to zoom your conversation in on a particular topic, we refine the content that we display in that right-hand panel. So if, for example, I were to click on this one, for example, you'll see the underlying document that we've connected to for the index, right? So happens to be a news article from, I don't see exactly where, from the Financial Times, focusing on Tesla and their stock price, I guess, or whatever, right? So I might change that conversation. I may say something like, I hear the Toyota hybrid is great. And you'll see some information come up about Toyota now in this case. As the conversation evolves, like I said, we begin to focus in on specific elements. So you'll see things rise to the top on the right-hand panel. And then you'll see some other information down at the bottom. So in this example, you see Nissan just starting to make an appearance down at the bottom. But if our conversation were to focus around Nissan, then you'd find some. You'd find some information about that being presented. So we do all of this in real time. We connect to pretty much any kind of data source that's in an organization. At the moment, we focus primarily just on text. We're about to launch a version that does exactly the same thing for voice conversations. So when we're having a voice-enabled conversation, we'll see relevant content being presented to you. We're just launching this as a service. We're very focused on, like I said, being innovative and doing new things. So we'll be bringing it to market essentially within a number of weeks at this point in time. And we have a pretty broad roadmap for the kind of platforms we want to connect with, both client-side, and pretty easy to integrate with Link on the client side of things. We also have the architecture supports a broad range of analytics platforms to integrate with at the back end. So we have a fairly extensive roadmap associated with that. I don't know how much time I've used, but probably not a lot. I have 4 minutes. Do we want to take a couple of quick questions if anyone has any? I realize you may all have been expecting something around system management, but so what, one here just at the front.
I was just curious, can this integrate into companies like enterprise SharePoint environment and like actual help?
Sure. So at the back end, we integrate. We basically connect to and integrate with essentially any kind of data store or repository. This is built on a number of proprietary back end software products and open source products. But we've connectors for pretty much anything that can that we can access. If you can access the data, we can index it and we can present it. So you mentioned call center type stuff, right? So this is a big focus for us. It's the singular biggest use case we're focused on at the moment, which is basically enhancing the conversation between individuals. You can just imagine this in a call center type scenario. You know, rather than someone have to do the manual step of looking at the information being exchanged and then going off and trying to find the answer, what we're focused on is trying to give the answer before someone has to go look at it. So call center is pretty important area for us, and especially that comes into play with voice, right? And we're just building some prototype work around the voice side of it a second ago.
Did the other person see this as well? Like, can you use it when you...
No, it's if you're running in context analytics, then you will see it, and if you're not running it, then you don't see it. So right. So, well, yeah. So that's the licensing aspect, right? So, both users have to be running it in order to see the data, right? So Claudio, I happen to know, is not running this. But regardless, information that he sends to me, I see it anyway, right? We also have a sharing facility whereby, you know, we can take a pointer to some information and we can share it with non-in-context analytics users. And the other thing, you bring up a great point, actually. Even if Claudio was using this on his side, he may not see exactly the same information as me, right? So he'll see what he is permissioned to see, and I will see what I'm permissioned to see. So there's an asymmetrical relationship there. Anything else? So there are some configuration options we can set. One thing we're building, it will not make it in within the next number of weeks or months, but there's a heuristics component to this architecture. So we learn about individuals and their focus area, and we will skew the results return to reflect maybe something that interests them, right? We will skew the information returned based on maybe their role in an organization. So there are certain profile characteristics you can set up. So for example, in a voice conversation is the most obvious. I could be talking about gap, right? The word gap could come up in the conversation. If you're an accountant, gap means something completely different to you, as it might mean to me if I work for London Underground, right? Gap is completely different. So we will reflect some knowledge about you as an individual in terms of the information we present back. But yeah, the user can customize maybe, you know, the databases they want to have access to, the extent of information, the depth of searching, and that kind of stuff. We're done? Super. Thank you very much for your time. Sure, I'll do questions, yeah. Yeah, I haven't shown it to you on that interface, but yeah, so one of the things we do is, one of the things we find pretty quickly was people get really pissed off whenever they've seen something on the screen that they want to go and look at, and then something else happens in the conversation and it goes away, yeah, right? So there's a history ribbon that you can swipe through. So what we don't always update the screen on every new statement that comes in. We do a lot at the start, but then as the conversation develops, we have a certain set of thresholds that we have to hit before we start to change what we display. And every time we do that, we kind of bookmark it so that you can scroll back to see what information was there. Yeah, great point. The other big kind of focus area about this is relevancy, right? This becomes quite useless and meaningless for people if you're bringing up information that is of no relevance to them. So the accuracy of the search and the information returned is pretty important.
So I have a question. So sure. What is your roadmap? Do you think it would be useful to move to a web-based version of this?
Yeah. Well, we actually use a Node.js server here in terms of how we present the data here. We've a pretty full roadmap in terms of moving away from just this as the traditional classic Link client. We also, on the roadmap, we've got a focus on mobile devices and web and you know all that kind of stuff. I don't know if you caught Gurdeep's keynote on the opening day, but right at the end, he talked about you know the future being information that's contextually relevant. I was quite delighted about that because we have it pretty much here now, you know. So, but we've more work to do, right? I mean, the roadmap's huge. There's a bunch of stuff that we can do. And I guess, like any engineering group, we're not limited by ideas. We're just limited by resources. Yeah. So. All right. Super. Thanks.
Okay, can you guys hear me? Great. Well, thanks for that little switch around, and I really like technology like that. It's pretty cool. This is going to be, yeah, exactly. Yeah, Dell and HP were the best of friends, naturally. I'm going to be showing a little bit more of some future. So I come from the Quest software acquisition to Dell software. Definitely from a Link perspective, Dell has a lot of depth from the perspective of deploying it, getting servers to run Link. And the software side of it, really, we're just ramping up in the last couple of quarters. But we bring a lot of resources to bear, and we'll have a lot of different things. And we actually have some stuff right now: message stats for Link, spotlight on messaging, which has Link's diagnosis. But I want to show you something that's going into beta in March and going to be released later this year. And it's an adaptive analysis engine on top of messaging data. And it's basically, it's built on top of a Dell-derived, sorry, did I introduce myself? Did I? Okay, sorry. My name is Doug Davis. I'm product director for UCNC at Dell. And my job is basically to move forward software solutions around anything that's on unified communication collaboration, SharePoint, Yammer, Jive, Chatter, Twitter, LinkedIn. You know, we're seeing all kinds of things being used from a business perspective, but Link is a particular focus area for us. And as I said, we have a, so Cassandra's an open source database, and there's a Dell-derived version of that called Doradus. And what we're doing is we're basically creating these massive data collectors to collect everything from your messaging infrastructure. And that includes tracking log information, quality of service information, messaging information, and then we just throw it at you. So one of the downfalls of most tools that have anything to do with analytics or adaptive or analysis or reporting is that everything is fairly static. Okay, and it's always a bit of a struggle to understand, you know, every customer's needs. So when you have a very kind of canned set of reports or views, you're always struggling to make that fit. And I'm tired of filling out an RFP and saying, oh, we just don't have that report quite often. So Mestat's Business Insights, which will be renamed later this year, is an adaptive analysis engine on top of messaging data. And I'm going to show you a little bit, if you can, you know, just for a couple of minutes, just I'm going to do show you on existing Exchange data, because that's what we have right now. And I'll show you some of the link preview UI shots as we kind of bring it on a little bit later on. So what you can do is you basically have these insights into what people are doing. So one of the things is very much focused at this stage on understanding ROI of Link, understanding how it's being used, understanding, you know, whether or not it's being adopted to a particular perspective, compare it to other platforms such as Exchange. And when you come into it, you're basically trying to answer some questions. So from the perspective of Exchange in this particular case, is who is talking to my customer? These are just some examples of what you can do when you create an insight. So if I'm looking at an insight from the perspective of who my salespeople are talking to from the perspective of external communications, when they're talking to them, who they're talking to, who they're talking about. And I can continually massage this, refine it, change the insight to do that. I can refine my search. I can actually set up different parameters because I always have access to my schema. Come on, pop up. And I can go through my data schema is always available to me. I can go into an insight creation process and basically change around what I want to show from the perspective of what I want to do. And then based on what I choose, things will change and my view will change from that. So from the perspective of this particular one, this is one where I'm talking about sent and received emails, but you can see how this is analogous to the Link world as well, and what my kind of who I'm talking to, my top customer, email addresses, who my top subject keywords are, things of that nature. Then I have other ones which tell me about whether or not I'm responding in a reasonable amount of time. Okay, so these are examples of how the insights are used today with existing customers on Exchange. What we're going to be bringing out is an adaptive analysis on top of all the data that's related to your link. And I'll show you some of the previews of some of the stuff that we'll be showing from that perspective. So this is link usage by pool. So again, I can change this around. So I basically come into it. I say, okay, I'm collecting all of this data. We publish the schema within that. And then I create these particular insights. So it's showing me my peer-to-peer sessions, my conferences that are happening, where they're happening by a pool, the conferences by pool, by media type, whether it's IM application sharing, conferences by that, where it is from a city perspective, where it is from a peer-to-peer by city, conferences by city. If I don't like this view, okay, in a typical reporting tool, you basically say, okay, you know what, I'm going to have to talk to the development team to talk to it. I'm going to see. You can say, basically, I don't want to have it this way. I want to actually change it up. I want to make it so that it's more based by geography. I want to create, you know, by teams, by department. So you start with these generic insights, and then you play around with them. So this is one that's basically kind of a one that we start with to give you a sense of how it will look from a pool perspective. But you can create other insights. We can create one that's basically right very much around adoption. So one of the things that we get is we know people have goals. So if you're getting any sense, this is primarily for kind of business sense of how things are doing with Link. So there's that quality of experience, quality of service, all that stuff about whether or not it works. But at the end of the day, somebody's paying for this. They want to know how it's doing and how it's comparing to other particular things. So in this particular case, I'm doing some analysis based on, first of all, trends versus Exchange. So I have active users, and those are actually using links. Actually, this is an adoption insight. So do I have a trend? You can set goals. And am I trending up? So if we say we want to roll out Link across many multiple geographies, many multiple divisions, and we have a goal that we want 75% active users by the end of a particular time, I can see how this is going based on the information that I'm doing. Then I can also see from a percentage perspective by departments, okay? And all of this is done because we're tracking everything. We're storing everything that happens from the perspective of all these communications, and we're linking it into Active Directory so we know where these particular folks are. And we can sort of then say, okay, you know what, this is great. Sales, which is by default almost always using it, they're doing fairly good, but services isn't. So I can do some action and find out, try to push services along for that. And I could create a services-specific insight if I wanted to as well, again, if I'm trying to do that from that perspective. And I can also do it by geography, and again, I can sort of switch around and see what I want from that perspective. And then this is a, no, that's what I think I just showed. Sorry. Oh, I didn't load up my right, my third one. So we had another one. I apologize. Another one where we're going to be able to show against other platforms. So sort of, and actually there's a chargeback one I want to show. Just give me 2 seconds. There we go. So another thing that we can do is we can start giving business insight into the costs of Link and how things are actually going. Let me make that a little bit bigger so that everybody can see. And I have sort of my overall total costs on a daily basis. So one of the things that you do have to do this is you have to define some of your cost models for Link, and we have a lot of different tools allowed to help you do that. And then you kind of work through from a perspective on a daily basis what's happening from a particular division. So I can see what my chargebacks are. Again, a little bit of historical information by department and find out what they're spending. From this one, particular one is by a day average. What they're doing, what the activity type is by cost, by media type. So how much my audio and video is costing me, how much my app sharing is costing me, my data, my focus. IM information and stuff of that nature as well. And again, these are always things that I can modify and change that particular insight. So that's the sort of the genesis of what we're trying to do here. So it's all about making the data available to you. So the first thing is to create all these data collectors, bring it into it's a big data play, if you guys know, kind of when we're talking about big data. And the thing about big data is that information is then available to you to create. And I can show you a little bit, if I go into, how much time do I have?
2 minutes.
2 minutes, okay. All right, so if I go into here and I want to go back to home, another thing that we have here, and I didn't show that too much, is that we have this this concept of live tiles as well. So once you create, those are insights that we go a little bit further, but the insights also have a life at the top level so that from the perspective of what's happening in the internal one, I can get these high level, these are live tiles that tell me information about, depending on the particular information that I'm trying to do. And I can also do it by permission model as well. So for example, if I have access to all the information in the company, I can look and get insights into company-wide communications. Or I can just do the people that report to me and get information about my particular staff, my own communications, data loss prevention, things of that nature. And I can create new insights here to add to this as a live tile initially, and then it kind of goes down into those. And the insights are definitely 100% based on the data model. So I basically choose whatever I want from the schema that we're selecting. Okay, and in the Link context, it would be all Link information that would relate to that. And then that insight I can add to my core panel. And this is all stored by user. So if I'm logging in as one user versus another user, I get things that look a lot different from that perspective. And these sort of highlight those from there. So, all right, that's pretty much what we wanted to talk about today. We are doing some demos down at the booth, the Dell booth down in it. As I say, we are going to all the Link stuff is going live mid-March. And we were trying to get ready for this conference, but we just didn't quite be able to get it out. We are showing it at the booth if you want to see it, come there. We have to sort of run a bit of a config to get it working properly, but in a couple of weeks we're going beta with live Link operational and messaging information, and hopefully there's something there that you'll see. So if you ever wanted to have access to all that and display it and show it any way that you want, that's what the MBI engine does. Okay. Thank you.
So we can do any questions?
Any overarching questions?
None.
Okay, perfect. That's fine. I'll get out of your way. Absolutely. Yep. Yep. So there's just kind of a two-level one. So, okay, sure. So it's basically, we are storing subjects, messages, information, who you're sending it to, who you're sending it from. Depending on the organization that we talk to, some organizations are like, very much they want to control that. Other organizations, you know, kind of are a little bit more freer with that. There are some ways that we can spoof some of the data so that it doesn't come out that way. But you can't see any data. So everything that we store is stored with access in Intel with it. So you can't see any data that you wouldn't normally have access to. And if you turn on the org view, basically you can see things that you basically, so you can be an administrator for the entire data set, and you can mine the entire data set, or you can do it just by your own personal organization structure, or there's another delegation, and I didn't show it, there's another delegation engine on top of that, so you can do that. Now, you can not collect that data as well, so you can also tweak the data collector and say, I just want to collect, for example, I don't want to collect anybody's names, but I just want to collect subjects for the messages and get some information there. The operational information we're not too worried about, but those core messages, and you can also filter out particular stuff that you're trying to collect as well. So you have kind of like a schema of names that you don't want to collect. But the core of it is based on who you have access to from an Active Directory perspective, from an org perspective, or who you've set up, who's been set up within the delegation engine. And so Metastats on Exchange has been out for quite some time. And we do have some large 100, 200,000 user organizations. And they have been able to rely upon their Active Directory to maintain that security. But we do ask people to just double check that that's actually set up properly. And we have some other tools that can help you do that. But our ultimate answer is, if you're not comfortable, don't collect that information. So a lot of the link and Exchange operational stuff is very similar to the stuff that your guys collecting. So you can get some value out of that from that perspective.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Thanks. Round of applause.
Yay!
Now we have Nectar, and that'll close out the session. I won't do a final closing, but thanks Nectar and thanks all the partners. I'll let you just run out the clock at this point.
I know. My introduction, I'm the guy between everybody here and either the bar or the tables or something, right? Yeah. So my name is Tom Tuttle with Nectar Service Corporation. So I head up the Microsoft practice and have been involved with Microsoft working with them on the SDN API for really the last 2 years. And so Nectar, if you don't know much about them, a lot of times we're the engine behind several. You'll see downstairs there's a number of large link partners who were the engine behind their monitoring and management. So it's a lot of times it's powered by Nectar and they call it something else, so we do that. Headquartered in New York, we have offices in London, Boston, and Dallas. Been in this business for quite some time. We were the original depth partner with Microsoft for the SDN API. And so I'm going to show you a little bit about that. So I'm going to start with a kind of a top-line view of what we do from a link perspective, because what we believe is in, as you see and everybody talks about, is that entire ecosystem. And you need that entire view of that ecosystem to truly understand how it's happening, how it's performing end-to-end. So this is just kind of a view, and this I'm going to just show various dashboards. If this was an enterprise customer, they'd probably have all their sites and locations listed over here. This is built very much for a service provider. It's multi-tenant. Very flexible. So over here, we've, of course, this is a service provider view, and they've got all their customers listed over here at this particular time. And different things are going on based on thresholding, alarms, and alerts are coming up. They can look at a dashboard and have it up and kind of blend this together. In this case, they're looking at kind of the map of their European locations, how they're connected, as well as managing and looking at the utilization of all their key trunk groups. They could drill down a little further on that site to then see how the connectivity is taking place at that site, right? So this is real time, they understand. And this is all auto-discovery, okay? So this is all done very easily. Deutsche Bank, big customer, 2,500 locations, plugged in. We had that completely done in less than 2 hours. So it makes it very easy to kind of put in and implement. And then, so after you want to drill down the site, so you can look not only health performance, but you know what's going on there. If there's an issue, you'd be alert and alarmed on it. Another view here is that if you start to get into different environments. You can see the tabs up here, and this often happens when somebody's migrating to Link, right? Is that they've got that very much coexistent UC environment platforms. There might be moving from Avaya, or there's going to be some Avaya involved. And so the idea here is you can look at the performance of the infrastructures of each of those different UC environments there. This one's Link here, so you can see all the different, this is just we pick these by random, a lot of different measurements you can pick from, In this particular case, you know, we're looking at different dials. We're looking at trunk groups. These could be trunk groups that are going from Avaya into Link. So depending on what you want to look at, you can select. In this case, we know also that we've been alarmed that there's a potential issue on the Link on the Link front end. So if we were to double click here, it'll come back, and what it comes back with is a dependency tree. And dependency trees allows the user or the service provider to start building, here's the what-if scenarios, right, in terms of a very high level, down all the way down to whatever component they want to look at and what part of the environment. So this is the way you then can look at that very quickly from a tier one perspective. This is pretty easy for them to start to do a lot of that basic triage work in an operations center, so it doesn't always require a tier three person to be involved. And then let's take just another look. So if now we'll go further into Link. In this case, this is connected to our environment. So you see a lot of red on there. That wouldn't be a normal environment necessarily, but we're injecting a lot of jitter, a lot of packet loss. We're taking paths down. So this is what we're looking at here. So of course, we have a whole list of Link calls here that have all looked pretty good. And then as you get down, you got different gradations of colors based on the thresholding. So if it's good, fair, however you define that, and you can do that by site as well. So if you were to look at any of these red calls here, if you wanted to explore them a little further, and this is the part where we now, so all this is all QoE database, right? And oftentimes that's where it stops, because we know that, hey, this was a bad call, but this is the beauty of the SDN API and what it's able to do. We can go in and we can launch into our real-time analysis module. And so what's unique about this particular part of our solution is that it peers with the routed network. So we understand topology. And part of the reason why Microsoft launched the SDN API is they found from calls that they took from customers is that up to almost 50% of the problems or issues were related to the client's network topology. So, and so to be able to provide insight into that, they had to, not necessarily unencrypt Link, but they had to give the keys available so that we could then take that information and begin to map that call through the routed network. So let me talk to a little bit here on this view here. So you have a lot of different information here. You can look at active sessions that are going through the network. You can look at site view, which gives you all the different locations, sub-sites, sub-IP addresses that you want to maybe track and see the performance on. If any of these dials were red at any time, you could go in and see and look at every call that was impacted by this particular alarm or alert. You also have a view into all the routers. So in this case, I know the entire routed topology and the structure there. I know how many streams are going across those routers at the given time. I can investigate any problems from this point and this vantage point as well. So I apologize, I'm going fast here, but I want to get to a scenario here and kind of show you exactly how the API comes in. So then you also have a number of charts or graphs here if you want to look at those to start to look at trending, because trending is a key there, because oftentimes as applications change, as users get brought on, oftentimes there's not changes made to the network. And so this is the part that they start to make the capacity planning needs and decisions that you need to make there. So here we have active alerts. So right now you've got a couple active alerts that are on. Any of these we can bring up, and we can run over any for the last, we can look at a submission on this, and what comes back is, for that particular alert, this is every call, every Link call that was impacted by that alert at that particular time. Oops, sorry, there we go. So at that point in time, this is a very small alert, but it was a high profile location. So these two calls were impacted by that. If you go, and so the idea here is you've got DVR capability. So you can go in here from an alert perspective, and I could look at, you know, all the alerts for whatever period of time for the previous hour. I can look at, the last 4 hours. And they only get removed once they've been worked or assigned through a workflow product. So in this case, you can see we had a number of different events that were taking place. And you help define what those are, and you define the thresholds associated with those. So there's another case here. So let me just, and you can see you had quite a few alerts that are going on, and they get you have the ability to assign these out then. So let's take a, so the other way, so besides the just the automatic alerts that would come up, you often have the case where the user calls in and said, you know, I had you know, three bad calls over the past week or the past 2 weeks. To go investigate that takes an enormous amount of time. And then to try to figure out what the problem is even more difficult. So let me just do a particular user who's just called in. I'm going to clear this. And we know his SIP URI. There he is right there. And we know that over the past, let's go the last 24 hours. He knows it happened sometime in the last day. And what comes back is for that particular user, we know all the calls that they made. And the reason we're able to do that again is because we're getting the information directly from the Link front end. And so we support the API, either versions 1.1, 1.2, as well as 2.0 has come out. So, and what happens with that is, so when that call starts and comes in, it immediately then triggers our capabilities to be able to map that call throughout the entire throughout a network. And then it also allows us to do real-time media analysis. Because right now, out of the QA database, you get an average end-of-call MOS score. So sometimes you could see, and we've had customers who have told us this, I'll call in and they'll say, hey, I just had a really bad call. They look at the QE information, they go, this is a 3.0, that doesn't sound that bad. But what happens is it's because of that average, is that the call may have gotten so bad at the end that the call terminated. So over the course of the average, it doesn't look so bad. The API, what it allows us to do is when we take that information and consume it, we have an analyzer that could sit near a voice gateway, an SBC, and see that and measure that information as well. And what that does is it gives us the ability to then look from start to finish of that call, what the MOS score, where the packet loss was, and everything else. So here's all the calls that this Link user 1011 made, and we can sort on any kind of different any of these categories. So we're gonna sort by these and kind of look at his ones worse. So here you see, these were ones dropping the most packets. You had MOS scores of anywhere from 1.8. And these are probably the worst calls that he's referring to. So when we go to select any of those individual calls, what comes back is what we call a quality of session record, a QSR. And so that information, you get basic information that kind of says the to and the from, the duration, right away if there was a problem with that call. And then what we get into is the actual topology of that call. Let me try to expand this a little bit. Okay. Looks better on a really big screen like there. But so what you have here is you have this call. So this Link call here, you know right away is a Link call, first of all, because of the big L. Okay, that's a big indicator, as well as the information on these two characters here, F and C, that if right next to the endpoints. So we know that that's the information that's coming directly from the Link SDN API. These other two right here in this place, A and E, and B and D, those are analyzers that are sitting right near, let's say, at the edge of the data center, near a voice gateway, near an SBC, and we're also monitoring the quality of the voice right there. So they match up to the stats here down below. So these are all the routers, so we know that it went out this way, and we know it came back this way, but we also know that it looks like by the time it got to the first party there, there was no problem. Everything was nice and green. It starts to come back. We see that right here, on this particular interface, on this router, as it came into DALCOR 2, is where the problem was. So by the time it hit the edge, going back out to this, going back to the customer return, we know that it had poor quality statistics there, as well as at the very endpoint. That's what the API reported, and that matches up down below here. So here you see that this MOS score here. This is what really comes back from the API, 1.93. So that's that average post call. This 1.23 is what we've actually calculated based on what happened during that call. And we're seeing that in real time. So we can graph that. And we can see that pretty much this call was bad the whole time. Never really got up over a 1.5 at any given point in time. Okay. The other thing that you're able to do is when you start to isolate exactly where that problem is, you get a little indicator there to tell you that's where the problem was. So that allows us to go in. We can look at the NetFlow data. We can look at the QoS settings, which oftentimes are the things that's most overlooked, because customers will, without a doubt, oftentimes swear up and down that they have Link set for 40%. That's a QoS, and it's set at 20%. And we found that repeatedly. So we can go in here. We can look at the stats for this call for the previous hour. So what comes back here is information that's direct from this from that router. And we know down the legend there, it'll tell you which of the priority queues. So in this case, you know that critical data, video conferencing, voice, and link are set in the priority queues. But you also know along here at any point, you know how many packets were being dropped at that particular time. In this case, you're seeing about 60,000 packets dropped at link at that point. You go over to bandwidth utilization. This is where you now begin to see, you can either look at graphically or you can look at results here, and you can start to see trending here. So you know that in this case, I've just upped my link queue to 20%. I had it set at 10, but I see here that several times during the day, I had approached that threshold or exceeded it. So this is the kind of stuff that you would normally have to, if you're looking only on QoE database, you say, okay, I had a problem. And this is direct from Microsoft, right? Because they have the same issues when they're trying to solve their internal issues. To go do that, I would have to figure out, okay, maybe it's this path, begin to set up a trap, hope that the problem recreates itself. In this case, you have the ability to just to drill right into that and to find that the root cause, more or less. So it's a great program. It's a really valuable tool. I don't know if anybody saw our session earlier, but we were with Verizon. It's taking this as well and consuming this because they know how important it is to really kind of give that true end-to-end picture. So appreciate it. Any questions I can answer? Yes. Now, so we have a component. It's a virtualized component that can do an analyzing. So it's like a probe that will sit near a gateway. It's not required because we get information from the API that gives us those statistics. It's really a way to about bracketing around a problem. So that way, it allows you to kind of pinpoint. Hey, I know it was good as it left my area before it went maybe someplace else. It's a quicker isolation. Now, the one thing that this is also going to allow us to do is. Less than 60 days, we're going to roll out our Wi-Fi module, which will, and now as link traffic hits the premise, I'll know statistics in and around what happens to that that user as they might move between access points. So I know that, hey, that was really good at access point one. As they move to two, not so good. So that probably might be where my problem is. I need to make changes. So, and that it's the correlation that comes from the API that allows us to do all that. Anything else? Thanks for your time. See you guys later, okay?
All right, thank you for, thanks to all the partners, and thank you everyone for staying, extra 5 minutes. I hope this was valuable for you. Obviously, Link would be nothing without these management and IT solution partners. I mean, this Link doesn't provide this capability out of the box, so we really appreciate the great work they're doing. Thanks, everybody.